Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and of course I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson and Gloria Wells, who's been taking you on a fantastic journey to learn how to break free from your inner critic. Breaking free from critical addiction is our book study, Gloria. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and I am doing fabulous this morning. How are you this morning?
I'm awesome. Hey, Dr. Reggie, what's happening?
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning, Dr. Reggie.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, this has been one incredible journey. Understanding our inner critic, understanding how people project on to us, that was just the most amazing thing. I see it so clearly day to day, and it's helped me to kind of have some peace about things, you know, to allow people to be who they are, but and to not be able to absorb all of those emotions and all of these inner scripts that I have. How about you, Gloria?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I talked a little bit yesterday about, you know, naming my inner critic, that I've named her Precious Patty. So I've set the intention to simply love Precious Patty into submission. So that is certainly, I have my work cut out for me, but, you know, I'm enjoying certainly the information that I've learned and the knowledge I've gleaned from this study. So absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. So where are we headed today?
Well, today we will recap. We finished step two yesterday, so I wanted to double back on some of the warning signs from that, and then we're going to head down into step three, which is flip it today.
Okay. So let's have Dr. Reggie do our opening prayer, and we're going to get started on this this lesson and delve into flip it.
Mm-hmm.
We breathe deeply. Let us acknowledge the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you that Gloria took it over and did a phenomenal job. And that you worked through her spirit and through the body that you created. Let everyone who hears this message be blessed and empowered and know that they are the master of their lives and they are always at the center of pure self-consciousness and peace. And let us know that there is no disidentification in spirit and the critical thinking of ourselves and others from the situation does not affect us unless we allow it to. Let us grow in wisdom above all. It gets in the scriptures to get understanding. Apply that throughout the other lives in everyone that we meet. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. All righty. So I'm going to turn this thing over to Gloria.
Okay. All right. So first of all, before I get started today, yesterday we listened to a song at the end of the broadcast, and I was so excited about the song that I forgot to tell you guys what the name of that song was. The artist, of course, was Mystical, and Miss Mystical is her name, and the name of that song is A Million Blessings. So I wanted to be sure that I told you right up front what the name of that song was today. So it was A Million Blessings. All right, so yesterday we talked about step two, devalue it. And we talked a lot yesterday about fear, and how fear is not useful. And we also talked about fear not being a guidance system. I thought those were both very powerful discussions, if you will, yesterday that we had about fear not being a guidance system. We left off yesterday with some of the common warnings that the inner critic often warns people to stay away from positive experiences for fear that something bad will happen. So we also talked about all conclusions are assumptions and are subject to error. So in talking about the warnings that the inner critic will give off that sometimes prevent us, like I said, we ended yesterday speaking about those warnings, the warning if things are too good, then something bad will happen, is oftentimes one of the warnings that we get from the inner critic. And that's false logical conclusion, according to Kaylee. Good things cause bad things to happen is what the end result of that is. Another warning is expect the worst so you won't be disappointed, because you never get what you expect or ask for anyway. And this is too good to be true. As well as avoiding loving relationships or you will get hurt, and then also avoiding pain. Now, one thing that she talked about or states in that section of the book as well is just to remember that the heart is open to the degree to which we allow things to simply be what they are. And that's I think, one of Kaylee's favorite statements throughout this book, and I love that statement. That the heart is truly open to the extent that we simply allow things to be what they are. Now, I do want to encourage you before we get started with step three today to, if you haven't gone out and actually purchased the book, you can actually visit our website, circlesofprosperity.org, to get a copy of the book there, because we will be wrapping this book up this week. We'll talk about step three today. Step four tomorrow, and then we'll complete with the last chapter of the book, which is Freedom to Shortcuts. Now, in doing that, we'll be jumping over one part of the book, which is the consciousness of energy. Now, she has some really good information in that section of the book, but due to a time constraint, I won't be able to cover every part of that particular section. So I want to encourage you to go out and get the book so that you have the full big picture of everything that Kaylee's laid out for us here. All right, so now we're going to move down into step three, flip it. All right, so Kaylee starts out this part of the book by saying, energy can only run in one direction at a time. So it's time to take action and change the direction of your energy from negative to positive. We need to flip it to turn the energy around. This perceptual shift will take you in the direction you want to go. However, you can't let go of anything you value until you realize it won't get you what you want, which takes the value out of it. When you want happiness and freedom, and you genuinely realize that negativity will not bring you happiness, you are able to discount it and refocus on what really has value, what you can do to be happy and free. Flip it is the step that your inner critic will object to the most, so don't let it fool you. Hang in there and read this chapter carefully. There are four kinds of negatives, and they all contain false assumptions. The first kind is just a simple negative assumption, which is easy to release. But there are three kinds of negatives that are especially hard to release: errors, offenses, and ongoing problems. Understanding how to release each of these is important, and I will cover all of them in this chapter. Making this flip is a powerful process that requires your deep understanding. Okay, so she's telling us about four negatives that she's going to discuss in this part of the book. Errors, offenses, and ongoing problems. So we're going to go over that today. So the first part here says release negativity and choose peace. Now that you know, one, the source of your negative feelings is in your mind, and two, your negative beliefs and judgments are assumptions and the result of your programming, and three, you are innocent. These understandings leave you free to take action and change them. Imagine a big round red delete button in front of you and have fun pushing it each time you recognize negativity in any form. If you have any thoughts that try to justify criticism, fear, guilt, or worry, just push the delete button and choose peace. Or simply say, I let go and choose peace. Choosing to be happy or free is the same as choosing peace. It is also the same as choosing to survive in a healthy way. Because negativity distorts your perception and endangers you by causing you to make faulty decisions. Identifying any belief or message as negative is all you really need to know to discuss it as invalid, which devalues it. Critical or fearful messages are not useful in finding happiness and will not set you free. It doesn't matter whether they are true or not. Don't let your inner critic engage you in a debate over this. Even if your negative comment is true, and that's in quotation marks there, it has no value because it is destructive. Push delete and cancel and choose peace. So you see what she's saying there is that even if the negative comment that's being that's coming up in your mind, whether it's being replayed by the inner critic or it's coming from an outside source, even if it's true, it has no value because it's negative. So it's important for us to remember that this red button that she talks about, the big red button that we can imagine and push delete on that button when we have negative thoughts come up for us that way. So I'll continue on here. You may notice that I talk about change without using the word control, because only the ego tries to control. It does so of fear and resistance. We really do not have any genuine control in life. Wow, just perceived control. So our attempts to control merely bring us more pain and frustration. This is why you don't want to try to control a thought in any way, including a judgment of it, because you will be stuck in resistance again. Just acknowledge it, let it go, and choose peace. When we are in a state of love and trust, we are working with the universe to naturally bring about the best for everyone. This is something that we cannot do consciously with control. While we may not have control over circumstances in our lives, we always have a choice in how we see things, which is a major impact on our lives. And I'll pause up there for just a moment. There are some really good nuggets in that part of, in that section of the book. She's talking there about control. Control is a function of the ego, and that it does, we attempt to control out of fear and resistance. One other thing that she pointed out there is that control is not something that we can do consciously or when we're trying to naturally bring about the best for everyone, something that we cannot do consciously with control. While we may not have control over circumstances in our life, we always have a choice in how we choose to see things. Okay, so that brings up to mind for me one of my favorite quotes, which is by Henry David Thoreau. It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. So it's all about perception, and Kaylee is magnificently pointing that out for us, and also stating that the level of control that we often try to apply to situations is really quite fruitless, actually. So I'm going to continue on there. Some inner critics may be saying something like this: I was loving and trusting as a child, and that is how I got here. Aren't I just opening myself up and having it happen again? That sounds dangerous. You use your very best coping skills to get where you are right now. You did the best you could. However, now you are older, wiser, and have more skills to handle even tougher situations than you did then, especially after reading this book. So use these new coping strategies to bring yourself the happiness you have always deserved. Happiness is your birthright. I love that statement. Happiness is truly our birthright. It is something that we were, it was a great pleasure that we were born with. It's our birthright to be happy. So going on here and finishing up this section, any real suggestions for improvement has creative value. That includes acknowledgement of your strengths and how you can best use them. A criticism just finds fault and leaves you feeling bad. It is a judgment that blocks your ability to see and accept things just the way they are. Acceptance does not mean that you approve of something. It means only that you acknowledge its existence so that you can come to terms with it as it is. Acceptance gives you clarity and expands your awareness. From a clear perception, you can change what is present. Resisting it will not bring you happiness or set you free. Okay, so I just want to mention again about acceptance, what she's saying about acceptance. I think that that statement that she made about acceptance also applies to accepting self, you know, so not just accepting situations and people, other people as they are. I think that that statement is relevant for self-acceptance. So I'll read that statement once again and then keep self-acceptance in mind as I read that. Acceptance does not mean that you approve of something. It means only that you acknowledge its existence so that you can come to terms with it as it is. So acceptance gives you clarity and expands your awareness. So what I meant when I said that I'm connecting that to self-awareness or self-acceptance is that in the process of trying to accept ourselves, it's a matter of approving of who we are, you know. So the lack of approving of who you are, or a lot of people take that to mean that we're approving of everything about us. So it only means that we're acknowledging everything about us that is in existence, and then also coming to terms with whatever's present within us. So that's how I was actually relating that to self-acceptance there. So we're going to talk about the errors that Katie's pointing out is the way that we actually view negatives here is in the way, and I thought this was a fascinating part of the book as well, so I'm just going to read on there. You may be asking, what if the negativity is not an assumption? What if I made a mistake or did something terribly wrong and there are heavy consequences? What I did is a fact and not an assumption. What do I do about a mistake or harmful behavior and the pain or damage I have caused? What you did may be a fact, but the judgments you made on yourself for doing it are not facts. Those self-judgments are negative assumptions, and those negative assumptions are the reason you have feelings of heavy guilt or shame. You have made self-judgments like, I'm a horrible person, a bad mother, bad father, weak, stupid, or inadequate, or not good enough, etc. Even if you are not conscious of the exact words of the judgments, you feel the emotional negativity of them just the same. Sometimes people feel guilt or shame even when they haven't done anything wrong to themselves or others. For example, people usually feel tremendous inner shame when they have been the victim of a rape or some other abuse, even though they were not the perpetrators. They feel diminished by the event and assume that they have been changed by it to somehow become worthless than what they were before. They make judgments on themselves like, I was bad, stupid, or ruined, should have known better, I must have done something wrong to have attracted it, etc. Obviously, they don't deserve to be treated like this by anyone, much less by themselves. Guilt and shame have no value to make you a better person or to prevent you from making the same mistake again. However, the knowledge you gain from the experience can do both. But if you carry around guilty feelings that weigh you down, your perception will be distorted and you won't get the full value, so you may do it again without realizing how it happens. When you realize your judgments and painful emotions, you clear up your perception so that you can learn from your experience. So I just want to pause there for a moment to talk about errors in judgment. And I'm also looking at the switchboard here, and it looks like Kaylee may be on the line this morning, but I'm not absolutely certain of that, but I will certainly check that out to see if she is there. And if so, we will certainly bring her on shortly here so that she can add some feedback to what we're talking about today. So, getting back to the errors here, Kaylee is pointing out some really valuable, making some valuable points here about guilt and shame. She also noted at the beginning of this particular section that, you know, negativity, what if my negativity isn't an assumption? What if I actually have done something that, you know, it's a fact that it's not necessarily what if I've done something that's actually that I've classified as a bad thing and that it is truly a fact that I've done this? So she's giving us some pointers here that it's the assumptions that we are drawing. It may be a fact that that thing occurred, but it's the negative assumptions that we're coming to as a result of that. Okay, so... Okay, so Kaylee does, she's offering some additional information there regarding guilt and the role that that plays on us. Guilt over our human errors has historically been a special kind of negativity that has plagued humankind because it is so difficult to eradicate. In ancient times, many cultures made sacrifice to atone for their misdeeds. Ancient Hebrew tribes symbolically placed all of their sins, all the sins of all of their people, on the head of a goat, and then sent the goat into the wilderness during the biblical ceremony for Yom Kippur. That is where we get the word scapegoat, as a term for one that bears the blame for others. So, I'm going to move now into giving it over. There's another really good part of this flippant, which is offenses, that I want to certainly be able to touch on today as well. And then again, we're going to bring Kaylee on as well so that she can add to this conversation today. So what if you made a wrong decision? The deed is done. The error is made, and you can't change that with regret. You don't get stuck there. Your first and only responsible action is to choose peace so that you can be clear-headed enough to undo the effects of your wrong decision and straighten out this mess. This may seem impossible, and you may feel helpless to change it. So you may need to turn over the problem to a power that can undo the consequence of your wrong decision. The same is true when we are dealing with negative situations or unresolved conflict with someone and don't know what to do about it. You may feel helpless to do anything, but you still need to do something because things can't continue the way they are. Before you can do anything, it is extremely useful to move into a state of clarity so that you will know what to do and make wise decisions that will really help you. The easiest way to get centered and stay centered is to give it over. This is where it is very important to have a loving relationship with your higher power, which I call God, and so do I, Kaylee. I call it God, too. Replace that word for any word that works for you. Whether God is real or not, we need a higher power to believe in so that we can trust and let go of our defenses and negativity, knowing that a higher power is taking care of us. A higher power is able to undo the consequences of our errors if we let it, but we have to be willing to let go and let God. God will not take anything from us without it being our choice to do so, because we have free will. One thing I know for sure is that miracles begin to happen when we are willing to totally give our problems over to our higher power, letting our higher power take care of it. In giving over your entire problem or your error, you are also giving over all of its consequences. Give it away. Give it all away. Give it over into the transforming fire of God's unconditional love, and you will feel your life energy return so that you can use it for good in finding happiness and peace. This negative energy will be transmuted into useful energy that can be helpful to all concerned. When I close my eyes and see myself giving over whole situations to the light of God, I feel the negative energy melting away, and a lightness of being begins to take its place. Sometimes I have to release it layer by layer. Each layer is a judgment that keeps me out of my heart, where my power lies. Releasing these layers into the light is a wonderful transformative feeling. The more intensely negative the problem feels, the more intensely I feel the shift. If it's really big, I feel bliss as the negative energy is transmuted. As I feel myself becoming centered again, I begin to see things differently. Give your problems over completely. Put your higher power in charge of the situation. If any negative feelings return, you are still trying to fix it or understand it. Let it go. You may still be valuing the pain of your regret, believing guilt is unrighteous from your past and conditioning. Just continue releasing it until you feel peace. Give it over completely. Don't take it back. Seek peace first, and everything else will be taken care of. Wow, that reminds me of the saying from the Bible jumps out right in my head, and that is, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. So that's comes up when I'm reading this, and I really think it's relevant to this particular part. What Kaylee's reminding us is that we do have a higher power that knows all things, that is all things, you know. So we have this huge help on our side or by our side if we're willing to access that and rely on that for a source of strength. And Kaylee's reminding us that is always, should always be part of our toolkit when we're, dealing with negativity or criticism or things of that nature. And I'll just finish up that section by saying, I'm finishing up here, if you need to do something to change the consequence of your errors, your higher power will give you the clarity and understanding you need to do your part. Wait for guidance. You will recognize higher guidance by the peaceful way it comes to you. Remember the good feelings you have experienced when you've had insights or revelations of truth. Truth feels good. Wait for that good feeling to know that you have clarity about the situation at hand. Even if this process seems unnatural or strange to you, start to digest the idea and put it on a shelf in your mind for the time being if you need to. You may want to use this later when you understand it better and feel more comfortable doing it. Before the end of this book, you will find an example of my own experience, which is in the section called Seeking Peace is Practical. All right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and bring Kaylee on. We do have offenses yet to cover in this chapter, as well as the obstacles to peace. Both of those are really awesome parts of this book, and hopefully Kaylee will touch on those for us this morning. All right, so let's go ahead and bring her on. Good morning. Hi, Kaylee.
Good morning. I am just so loving listening to you talk about this and how beautifully you have selected good passages, and thank you. I just really deeply appreciate this.
Yes, we certainly deeply appreciate, you know, the wisdom and the sharing of your wisdom in so many ways. This has truly been a learning experience. I was just telling Cynthia this morning, I originally read this book initially on my own, and then going back through it again for this book study has just been, you know, it's been phenomenal in terms of the takeaways that I'm getting from going back and restudying the book. So thank you. Absolutely.
Wow. Thank you for having the consciousness to know that and to recognize that. I think these were all hard-learned lessons for me. All of this has been, you know, God-given through experience and through inner teaching. I think you're on a particularly difficult part, this flip it. I often thought that flip it is interesting. It's like energy only goes one direction.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no in-between. There's no gradual, okay, let's change it. Let's gradually turn it around. It doesn't even work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Energy, it's one direction or the other. So you really have to flip it. So it's almost like when we're negative, we're going down a track, we're going 100 miles an hour, and we discover that the road's out ahead, bridge
mm-hmm.
is out, and if we continue the way we're going, we're going to crash.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to flip it, and we got 1 second to do it in. And how are we going to flip it from one direction to the other? And we do it quick. It's one way or the other. There is no in-between with energy.
Mm.
So this is the importance of this section, because people say, well, time heals all wounds. Well, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, energy is one direction or the other. At some point, you have to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you have to make that choice. Now, the thing that is usually when we talk about, like, especially if we've done something wrong, oh, my God, what we seem to do as a batter of being responsible is, oh, I feel so bad. So it's almost like we atone for the sin by feeling bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just miserable enough, mm-hmm. then I'll be being responsible. And so, again, that means all of our energy is in the past where we can't do a thing to change it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the present. The consequences are right now. Who needs you feeling bad for it? I mean, who does that help?
Mm-hmm.
No one.
No one.
It just puts that energy in this place where it's totally useless. In fact, it's not useless. It's destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to turn that around and say, wait a minute, the consequences are right now. All right, so what do I want to come of this? I did it. Things happen. And so now what?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be with this lovingly? How can I change it? How can I make a difference here? What can I do about the present consequences of that? So it's really about, you know, we have to flip it, change that energy, turn it around. Now, you've talked about the different kinds. Oh, by the way, I don't know, at Staples has a little button. They call it an easy button.
Mm-hmm.
You seen that on TV?
Yes, yes.
Well, I got one of those, and I wrote delete on it. They were on sale for $5.
Uh-huh.
And you push the button, and my clients will sit here, and because I deal with people from all over the world. I have sessions on Skype and everything, too.
Uh-huh.
And when they have something they're having trouble letting go of, I'll say, well, do you want to hang out with that? Or I'll say, well, I don't know. Why don't you just, here, push this button. And they'll push the button, and the button says, that was easy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So you're giving us... You're giving us that mental picture of the delete button in our head, too, where we can
yes.
actually just kind of visualize that button and just hit delete on that when we get these negative thoughts coming in, right?
Absolutely, and I want to hear it say, that was easy. So
yes.
add the sound to it.
Yes, add the sound
red button.
To it. Absolutely.
And it's been a wonderful metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And a tool for letting go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, was writing this book, and in this section, I thought I was done at this point.
Mm.
And my inner voice came in and said, oh, no, what if the unthinkable happens?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to delete that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what brought about this next section on offenses. And I had to deal with this about what do you do? What do you do? We may even want revenge. I mean, horrible things happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, while you might not be guilty, what if?
Mm-hmm.
So I finished that section, and I don't know if I meant, did I mention on this program that the day before, well, I'll mention it now.
Mm-hmm.
The day before I was ready to, the day I was supposed to submit it, I couldn't submit it to my publisher. And the following day, our son was murdered.
Mm.
Our son was murdered while his hands were handcuffed behind his back. He was shot by the police.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be being transported to a mental health institution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was a horrible, horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was, the unthinkable, just what I had to write about in the book.
Right.
Just what God made me go back and fill it in.
Mm.
And also, if you'll find in that last part of the book, there's a story about forgiveness, a real story that happened to one of the people in my group
mm-hmm.
When her son was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's interesting because it's, I ended up writing all this in some ways for us.
Mm-hmm.
And when this offense happened, it's my husband's son. It's our stepson that I finished raising. His mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband had gone off to a Buddhist retreat center. At least I tried to get him out the door, and I couldn't get him out the door the first day. Second day, finally got him out the day. Doris, third day, he called me, and he said, I want to come home. He says, I want to kill somebody. He said, they took my son from me. Well, he hadn't read my book yet. And I told him, I said, well, you know, there's this one section in the book that Hannah Laura read, and she said it works, and she had miracles happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, where is it? Maybe I better read it. And so he read this section. He went right to it.
Wow.
And he wrote back and he emailed me and he said, honey, it works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay.
Awesome. That is.
And it really, I mean, God is so wonderful. And we can turn this over. And by the way, I firmly believe that everything happens for good.
Yes. So
and far. I had to remind myself of this even when my son was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know that justice, well, there is nothing but justice in the universe because there's a law of reciprocity that mm-hmm. governs the whole universe.
Yes.
And so I don't need to seek justice, but I do need to find the good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything happens for good, but it's up to us to find that good.
Absolutely, Kaylee, and that's one thing that as we proceed with getting the book, the study closed down this week, I really, when I read through, there are two parts of this flip it that I know that I have to address, and we're not going to get to it today, but I will certainly fold back on this tomorrow. The offenses is one of them, and then there's another huge one in the obstacles to peace, which is, would you rather be right or be happy? I've always loved that sentence. Ever since the first day I heard that, I've always used it, and I've always kept that in the front of my mind. I think it's such a powerful...
That comes from A Course in Miracles. It's a powerful statement.
It is. It is a very powerful statement that would you rather be right or be happy? So we are definitely going to finish up this flip it part of the book tomorrow, because I do want to spend some time talking about offenses, and as well as that right, would you rather be right or be happy? Were you wanting to add something else, Kaylee? We're going to go ahead and close the show for today, but certainly. And then also, can you give us your website again, the way people can, I mentioned it, earlier in the book, but I'd like you to give it again, if you would, please.
It's openheartresources.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I do help people. I have people from all over the world. I deal with Skype or by phone. Mm-hmm. I do take sessions with people, and I watch miracles happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many miracles have happened in my life, and I know in this turning things over to God.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked about it, and I didn't go into the details on this last one, you read the part about turning it over and releasing it.
Yes.
I just wanted to add something, because this happened when, I can't even say who, but one of somebody close to me anyway, was suicidal. He was 1,700 miles away. He was suicidal. He was drug addicted. And everything was being taken away. He'd lost his car, the phone, everything going on. And then finally the phone was turned off, and I was having to call his friend every day to go over and see if he was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed, I said, God, I have to do something. What can I do? And God told me to surround him with light, with love, and take him totally and fully into my heart where he would be safe. And I want you to know, I thought I loved him. That would be no problem, easy. Well, it wasn't. Because when I actually began to have the feeling sensation of bringing him into my heart, I found little subtle judgments were there. And I had to keep releasing and releasing and releasing. And when I got him totally into my heart, I knew he was safe. It took hours. An hour later, he called his boss, told him he had a drug problem. His boss saved his job, took him in to a treatment center, and he was okay.
Wonderful. That is an awesome story, Kaylee. We can always, yes, we can always turn it over. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you again for writing this book. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. Thank you for showing up as who you truly are in the world. And we are all grateful for that, and we're all gaining knowledge from that. So we are going to get ready to close out with our closing prayer for today. Dr. Reggie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and turn it over to you for the closing prayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we know that we are loved by the most powerful force in the universe. In fact, you made the universe. I choose to recognize that I am innocent and without guilt, because all these are just lessons and opportunities to grow. In reality, they are golden nuggets of wisdom, and they are positive. I thank you for this lesson. And I know that if you, my Heavenly Father, does not judge my mistake and free use of choice, in me, why should I? We are your creation, lovable and worthy. Forgiveness is key to happiness is the force in miracles, including ourselves. Let us learn to do that and embrace it. Thank you. And I believe it is so, and so it is.